The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Good morning. Thank you for coming to our little presentation for our missions trip to the Ukraine this summer. This is our group here. We're going to go through a quick presentation with a few slides. We're going to go introduce each one of us as a group to kind of see why we're going. And then we will open it up for discussions, and we'd love to hear questions, advice, etc. So with that, we're going to go ahead and start.
Thank you. All right. Good morning, everyone. Today, we're going to start with a little bit of history about Ukraine, just so you can kind of get a glimpse of what Ukraine is like, why it is the way it is today. So for those of you who are history buffs, buckle in, get ready. For those of you who are not, try and stay awake. I'll try and get through it as quickly as possible. So, Ukraine has had quite a turbulent past, and rife throughout its history are struggles for autonomy, struggles to be an independent state, which once gained usually is lost very quickly afterwards. So I'm going to kind of back up and start when Russia first took possession of Ukraine, which was kind of in the early 1700s. So Russia started to take Ukraine in and make it its own state. Make it into its own territories. They took away its borders by about the mid-18th century. And Ukraine very much became Russified, they call it, became very Russianized. And all the Ukrainian traditions, its language even, was abolished, and they were told that they had to be Russian in everything, including name. But they started to become a little bit more nationalized. Ukraine, when they put in place universities and stuff that started to teach more of the Ukrainian language, more of its history, its past culture. And so this kind of set it up for when in 1917 to 1919, they gained brief autonomy. They became an independent state. They gained their independence. But this quickly fell through when the Bolsheviks took them over again after World War I, and they became part of the USSR. During this time, you know, under Stalin's rule, Stalin really pushed for Ukraine, again, to become Russified. It was a very Russocentric thing that he was trying to push forward. And so he took away, again, their language. He made them speak Russian. He took away their traditions, took away everything that they knew. And he made the entire Ukraine very nationalized, you know, put in place the Communist Party's mandates and stuff. And so as many of you might know, Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe. And so that was a big bonus for the Russians when they took it over. So they made the farms of Ukraine, they made them common property. And so Ukraine had to go and the farmers had to work in the fields and they had to meet an impossible quota. And this led to some problems. Just as an example, Russia closed off Ukraine's borders because they thought they were holding back the grain, the amount of grain that they were supposed to give. And so Ukraine slowly started to starve, and this decreased the population of Ukraine. But finally, they did open up the borders again, and Ukraine came back out. And the terrors and the trauma started to trigger some more nationalism in Ukraine, and they started to speak their language again, and they started to remember their culture, their past culture. And so this led to a series of uprisings and people who, albeit not publicly, started to spread around, you know, the fact that we need to be unified, we need to become one country again, we need to be an independent state. And so finally, in December 1st, 1991, as the Communist Party started to fall, Ukraine gained its independence again. And it is still independent to this day. Now, along those lines, you know, when you become independent, you have to set up a new government. You have to set up new rules and everything. And so it's very unstable, and it is to this day. Ukraine has a lot of instability. Corruption is rife throughout politics. Crime is very big there. They do money laundering. They run arms, you know, and there's also the fact that along the eastern border of Russia and Ukraine, there's still fighting that's going on. Thankfully, we'll be nowhere near there, but, you know, that is something to keep in mind, that that's still happening. For the language, it's mostly Ukrainian. About 67% of the people speak Ukrainian, but in some portions, especially in the place that we're going, in Odessa, they do speak Russian still. It's mainly Russian. And a common thought, one that's incorrect, is that if you know Ukrainian, you'll understand Russian as well. That's not true. Ukrainian and Russian actually are very different. So going to the place that we're going to, I've been learning a little bit of Russian, but if someone starts speaking Ukrainian to me, I don't think I'll be able to understand it. But, you know, for the religion, it's mostly Eastern Orthodox. They, starting with the Byzantine Empire, Eastern Orthodoxy really came to a climax. And so they've kept that religion throughout. Only about 2% of Ukraine is Protestant. And so you'll see a lot of churches there that are Orthodox. And we even got to go inside one when we went, which was very interesting, and watched the worship service. But, yeah, it's a little bit of history. So thank you for listening.
So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about the ministry that we are going to. Now, Camp Layla, a lot of times we think that Camp Layla is the head organization, but it's actually an organization called Heritage Ukraine. And Camp Layla is a subset under that. But Heritage Ukraine was started in 2007, I believe. Yeah, it was started in 2007, and their mission statement is to, it exists to shine God's light in dark places for orphans at at-risk, at-risk children and families and children with special needs. And then they say we consistently share the gospel and his love with children that he puts on our path. So Heritage Ukraine exists because a family started it that they really wanted, and they had a heart for the children, and they had a heart for people who are underprivileged and just didn't have the opportunity to have either a good, stable family, or they didn't have anyone there. And so it existed in order to spread the light of God's gospel to those that didn't have that privilege. And they're, like I said, that's the top organization. So it's not just Heritage Ukraine. There's also the organization of JAM, which is Jesus and Me, which is the at-risk, the specific portion that's the at-risk for their children's program. And then they also have The Bridge, which is an orphans ministry. And then Camp Layla is the combination of both. So their JAM ministry and their Bridge ministry are ongoing throughout the year. Their Camp Layla it happens normally either in the summer and in the winter, and they just take for each camp, they do a week long, and they take the children in, and then that's more short term, but their JAM ministry and their Bridge ministry is more long term, and those are their ones that are ongoing throughout, but the camps are specifically to each week, and they do that. To talk a little bit about Camp Layla, obviously it's under Heritage Ukraine, but it happens in Odessa. When we went there, we went to some of the last camps that they had, so we went to an at-risk camp and an orphan camp, but they have all different variety of them. They have the deaf camps, and they have the at-risk camps, and they have the orphan camps. Their mission statement is basically the same as Heritage Ukraine's, but it's more specifically the camps are in place so that the kids can build a relationship with somebody who is stable and somebody who can encourage them. So the kids come to the camp, and a lot of times they don't really have good relationships. They're struggling. They just need somebody to love them. And so what Camp Layla is it's an opportunity for these kids to experience love, which they don't oftentimes. A lot of times these kids they don't have that same love. They're neglected by their parents. And even in Ukraine, when we talk about orphans, it doesn't necessarily mean you're an orphan. It can also mean that your parents just don't want you. And so Camp Layla provides the opportunity for these kids to experience love, and that's something that is really at their heart and their core. They want to provide a place for these children to go and to have fun, to be able to enjoy life because they are kids. And oftentimes we don't realize that they're forced to grow up in the circumstances that they're in. They're forced to grow up too early. They they don't have that same opportunity to be like kids and to enjoy life like we do in America. The amount of people that comes to Heritage, or excuse me, to Camp Layla, normally it's around 600 children and 400 volunteers, and that would be big, but because of COVID-19 and the whole situation, they had to limit it down. I believe it's only 150 volunteers that are able to come, and some are around 200 kids. So they've definitely limited it down because of that. So there's not that same outreach and ministry opportunity, but it's still a good opportunity, and we were actually able to come. So we got signed up, and they had a limited amount of slots, but we're still able to serve there. And, yeah, so that's a little bit about Camp Layla, and it's a really wonderful organization, and we're just so blessed to see that there's people out there who have a heart for reaching the kids that don't have that opportunity and just to be able to be a light to them. So.
Okay, so a little bit more specific about what Gwen touched on is who we are serving. We're serving these children, and they are oftentimes from very hard places, like she said, whether it be economically or just socially. They're often in rough places. And so we're going to be serving kids that are either orphans, at risk, or special needs. Specifically orphans, there are going to be a couple of variations, which I'll talk to in a minute, but those are going to be those that are grow up in boarding schools or orphanages, which don't have that same kind of access that kids in the U.S. might have. At risk specifically is a broader term that speaks to kids that have less opportunities, so they're in rougher places, so they're going to have be at the bottom spectrum of the economic, social aspects of Ukraine and their society, and so they're at risk in that sense. And then also with special needs, there's going to be specific camps that we'll show here in a second that target special needs children, whether it be the deaf camp or their other ministries, but specifically with Layla, there is going to be a deaf camp that we're going to be going to. And then we want to define kind of what some of the orphans are. A majority of the children that are going to be coming to this camp are actually what's known as social orphans. These are orphans that may not necessarily don't have a family. It's just maybe a family that doesn't want them or can't physically provide for them. And so they're raised in these boarding schools and orphanages, and they have this sense where you can really have a heart for them because either their family doesn't want them or they're just in a rough spot so that they can't provide for them. And so, as I said, these children are raised in these boarding schools. It all depends on the family. So sometimes they're able to see their families. Oftentimes it's very few and far between. Sometimes on holidays, sometimes they'll go a lot longer than that seeing their families. And then many of them have actually experienced trauma in their life. As Gwen had said, they've kind of been forced to grow up a little bit sooner than a lot of children that we might be used to come into. And so a lot of what Camp Layla or the organization has told us is we have to be expecting some interesting behaviors back. So if we're able to love these children, we can be expecting certain behaviors that we might seem weird to us growing up where we are, like a willingness to show an abundant amount of affection just for a little bit of kindness. And so that's kind of plays into this trauma that a lot of the children have been. And so this is going to be a big motivation for why we want to go. We want to serve these kids in a meaningful way to show the love of Christ. And yeah. So that leads into how we're serving. So we're going to be serving these children primarily through building relationships. That's what Camp Layla is all about, is actually building relationships with these children in a meaningful way to show the love of Christ to them. And this can take various forms. And we're going to be serving in these camps in various roles. So some of the areas of service, there's going to be arts and crafts, sports, music. Some of us will be group leaders. All that's still to be determined individually. But we're going to be serving in various ways throughout the camp to give ourselves to serve them. So these are the camps of Camp Layla. and we will be going to three of them as a group. Various individuals will be going to certain ones just because of schedule and not to others. The majority of our group will be going to the July 2nd, July 11th, and the 16th through the 25th, which are going to target that children's from deaf orphanages, as well as the orphans and at-risk children. Those are going to be the two big ones that they throw. But so, with that, this is our entire group that's going. Some of us were not able to make it today, but we did want to take this time to kind of introduce us individually and kind of tell you why we individually want to go and serve in this way. So I will start. My name is Micah. I am looking at this as a way, of course, we want to serve the children in a very specific way, and we can show the love, and it's a great opportunity to do that. But I feel another big motivation for me, at least, is that this gives us a better picture of the universal church. Oftentimes when we're in the U.S., we have privileges to worship, and in other countries, it's often harder to experience or harder to believe what they might go through considering our experiences. So going over there is going to be a big way of putting together that whole idea of missions as a universal church with serving. And that's going to be a big one for me. Also, I feel drawn to the missions, and I feel that if this is what God wants for me, I want to keep myself open and see if this is where God has us. And so I think that's a good way of using short-term missions, is to really flush those things out in young individuals. And so I think this is going to be a great great opportunity for each of us to do that. And so, pass it on.
A lot of times we talk about sacrificing and what does it mean to be able to put others before yourself. But I know for me, a lot of the motivation behind going to Ukraine and serving there was because I realized that there are people in this world that need to give up for the good of others. And just think about what Jesus Christ did for us. He died on the cross for our sins, and we should be able to show that same love to others and be able to sacrifice some of our time, some of our comfort. And so I think one of the biggest motivations for me going to Ukraine, I mean, after going in 2 years ago, I realized that I was so privileged. I didn't deserve any of the stuff that I had. I have a wonderful home. I have a family. But a lot of the kids in the country don't have that. And so when I think about going to Ukraine and sacrifice and how that plays in, I have so much that I've been given. I should be able to sacrifice that for others. I should be able to help them out in whatever way possible. And so I really want to go to Ukraine to share the love of God with them and to be able to get out of my comfort zone, because that's exactly what happens. I get really scared about language barriers and things like that, and that's something that I definitely, I still will probably struggle with this trip. I'm sure I will, but to be able to overcome that so that I can share the love of God with others is what I truly want to do. And I mean, I've always really had a heart for missions and wanting to spread the gospel, but I'm really excited to go on this trip, and I really, really want to be able to be used in a way to where God can be seen through me and I can share the love of God with others. So,
well, my name is Katie Ruth Taylor, and for those of you who don't know, several of my siblings were actually adopted from the Ukraine. So really, as I've seen kind of a common theme throughout here, you know, as Americans, we're very selfish, and we think of ourselves all the time. And I really wanted to get out of that and to be able to go someplace where I could think of others as higher than myself, and to be able to share with them the love of God, and to be able to show them that, well, for these kids, that they are human beings, that they are made in the image of God, and that I can show the love of God to them. Kind of tying it back into the history that I was talking about, a lot of the remnants of Russia are left in Ukraine. And so one of those is the fact that the kids are not seen as humans. They're seen as animals, as less than animals sometimes even, because of the fact that they might have some deformity, they might have some special need that doesn't make them fit for service. They're not useful to the state. And so
I really want to go there and to share with them the fact that they are made in the image of God and that they are a human being and that they are worth something to God and that God loves them. And besides that, I just want to glorify God today. You know, we are called to be either goers or senders. And so I want to be a goer, and I want to spread God's name and to hallow his name and to show everyone who he is and to show them that there's a Savior that loves them and there's a Savior that died for them and who is willing to take them in and to take them into his family. You know, a lot of these kids, you know, as they said, they have families, but those families don't want them. But there is a family, a heavenly family, that will take them in if they believe and trust in Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and some reasons I'm going on this trip is I want to experience what it's like to serve in the mission field, because a lot of time growing up in America, it's hard to understand what people go through, and I also want to be open to God's plan in my life, and I'm usually very reserved, and I don't really want to go outside of my comfort zone, but this is going to definitely test that, and it's going to be a challenge, but it's also a very special opportunity, and that's one of the reasons I want to take this. And then some goals while on this trip, my goal is to serve the team in any way I can, and I want to try to serve these kids and instead of trying to change them, I just want to kind of be there for them and hopefully show them that I love them. And then I want to be authentic while on this trip instead of pretending to be something that I'm not. I just want to be genuine and show them that I care about them. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm David, and in Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." My focus is just this, to proclaim the good news of the gospel wherever I am, whether I am in Minden or Ukraine. My hope is that God makes me an instrument of his grace in somebody's life. When some Ukrainian kid sees me, I pray that he sees the glory of the gospel in my life. I know that God can use even the littlest of faith for his glory, and I pray that he will make me a light for him in Ukraine.
My name is Isabel, and my main reasoning for going to Ukraine is to serve the kids. As many of you know, I have a severely disabled younger sister, and I'm just super excited to be able to develop a relationship similar to what I have with my sister with these disabled kids and to show them Christ's love. And as it's been mentioned before, I think that if we have one goal on this trip, it would be to glorify God.
Sorry. My name is Bethany Wetmore, and I have mainly two reasons to go on this trip. One, to serve God, and another one is for the kids. And my main goal is really to show the kids that they're loved, whether by people who are all the way from America or by God. That's pretty much it.
Hi, my name is Hannah Wetmore. I'm very excited to be going on this Ukraine trip with everybody and to help serve the Lord. My main reason for going is, again, to be a help to these children. Many of these kids have been, if not all, through extremely difficult situations that we have never been in and probably never will be in. As a Christian, it's my responsibility to share God's love with these kids and to spread the good news to them. I am also hoping that as a result of this trip to build good relationships with the kids and to experience God's work in another country.
My name's Millie Wetmore, and the first two reasons I wanted to go was because of the last two ladies at the end. Those are my daughters, and they came to me with a heart to go, and I wasn't comfortable yet. So I said I'd pray about it, and God whispered in my heart to go. And I was surprised by that, because life as a mom is busy. But I'm excited. I'm excited. It's not just for the girls. It's for me, too. I can love these kids, and I can touch them, and I can hold them, and I can let them know that we love them. I'm excited that I get to share this experience with my daughters and with the other young people here. But I'm excited for myself, too. This is going to be a great opportunity. Like the kids have said, just the opportunity to meet our brothers and sisters across the world. I'm really excited about that, really excited to see the Universal Church, to build friendships and to fellowship together. That'll be neat to see. But then to touch the lives of the children, they said that they might show a lot of affection. I can handle that. I can hold them. I can hug them. I can smile at them. Because we're not able to be there as long as the rest of the group, my daughters and I will be there for the deaf camp for just that time. Hannah couldn't get as much time off of work, and as a mom, I can't be away as long. But that's going to be a great week, and we'll get to just love on the kids. And I'm ready for it. If they want me to hug them and hold them all day, I can do that. So I'm excited, and I'm excited to be with this group and to get to know them better. I'm excited for my traveling buddy, Michelle. I have never traveled internationally, but Michelle's a pro, so I'm excited about that. And just, you know, the work that God is going to do in our lives, I pray that he'll transform our hearts for his glory, and that he'll stir us, Lord, to serve more. And young or older, we can serve, and I'm excited.
Hi, my name is Michelle George, and my husband over there, Charlie, and he's been very supportive of me going, and I'm glad I couldn't go without that. So I do like to travel, and I found out about going to Ukraine when COVID started. I had signed up to go last time, and it got canceled. So I was real excited that they were going to do it again, and I thought, wow, I'm older, and I get to go to this mission. And I'm real excited. I think age doesn't matter. I'm glad this opportunity for all of us to go is here. I encourage everybody to think about it. And when we come back, we're going to tell you all the different stories that we've experienced. And I have no idea what to expect, relying on God. I know zero Russian or Ukrainian. I'm just real excited. I've heard about these kids growing up in Russia where they weren't loved and never touched, and that's always been in the back of my mind. So I'm looking forward to doing whatever God has me do, and letting these kids know there is a God and that there is hope, that they will have hope. So we're going to do as much as we can to show them love and have fun.
Okay, thank you so much for listening to our presentation at this point. We'd love to have any questions offered up to us, any advice, insight, anything like that. So, I think I saw a hand.
Yeah. How long will all of you be there?
It's going to vary based on the individual. Most of us will be going for a two-week period. Most of us will be going to two camps, is what I meant to say. And so that'll be about a month, 2 weeks for each camp. Some of us will be going for just one and flying back. But for the majority, it's going to be the two camps, those two last ones that I showed. Yeah.
How long is the flight?
How long is the flight?
The flight is about a day and a couple hours. So, yeah, we got a couple of layovers that are pretty long, but... Yep. Sleep a lot on the flight and get ready.
I speak zero Russian and zero Ukraine. Luckily, they will have interpreters for us that will be accompanying and kind of helping us, especially if we're serving in the role of a group leader where we're actually leading a group. They'll have an interpreter with us, and that'll help. Especially with the deaf camp, I don't sign either, so we're definitely going to need interpreters, which is going to be good. I do know she mentioned Katie Ruth knows a little bit. I don't know about a little bit, but I don't know personally. But
The nice thing about that is that once you get there, or once you're there for at least a week, you start picking up words. So little words here and there, like good morning and hi, and then those become very meaningful when you're able to use those little words for the kids. So and then they also find it very funny when you mispronounce words. So that's also very entertaining.
Right when we get to the camp, there's about a one-day period where they will give us a little bit of training, basically on how to interact with the kids and kind of what the camp is going to look like, but especially on how to interact with the kids, since, as we said, there's a lot of trauma that's going on there. So just some of the behaviors that we'll be looking at and how we're to react. Was there anything else? I think that was basically it.
Well, they do little training exercises, too, so, like, to get the team ready. So they have, like, the lectures that they'll give us on what to expect. And then we also, last time we went, we did some, like, team-building exercises because you're on a group of people, and then that's how you interact with your team in order to be more effective so that you can serve the kids. So then you learn the ins and outs of your team and what to expect, who to talk to if there's a problem, and things like that. So they'll give you that training ahead of time, but... Yes.
Like I mentioned, a couple of my siblings were adopted from Ukraine, so my mom told me about what goes on in the orphanages and stuff, and she knew the people who put in place Camp Layla. So she let me know that opportunity, and then Gwen and I decided to go a couple years back, and... So that's kind of how we knew about it. Mm-hmm. Yes? Gift-giving is a very big culture over there. If you give a gift, it's perceived as very polite. So, you know, we might be bringing some things for the kids. It depends on what the American coordinator wants us to do. We might be bringing, like, T-shirts or toothpaste or toothbrushes, things like that. I have to check with her about that. But we might be bringing some things for them. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely, yeah, keep you guys in the loop on that. Mr. Elliott. It just kind of happened. I mean, we went around and asked some people and sent some messages to the church just saying, you know, if you're interested, if you feel like this is where God's leading you, if you have a heart for missions, you know. And a lot of people responded, which I was very surprised by, but thankful and pleased. And, you know, I hope we'll all just bring glory to God during this time. Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. I think it was a little bit. It was a little bit cheaper last time. So projected now is like 2,100 or something like that. A little bit over 2,000. So that's a little bit. It's a little bit less, I think, because the thing was, the tickets were originally going to be super cheap, or the plane tickets were originally going to be really cheap because of COVID, and then after a lot of, like, the country opened up, and then after travel started again, then the tickets got more expensive. So, yeah, and I believe with the funding that we all received covered about half of that or so on, covered basically the plane ticket, and then the rest of the cost that still has to be covered is the camp costs. So those get paid at the camp, and basically. So there's going to be about 200 kids at least the second camp. I'm not sure about the deaf camp because those ones are normally a little bit smaller. But the kinds of activities, I can't say for the deaf camp because we didn't go to one last time, but I know that there was swimming, and there was arts and crafts, like tie-dye shirts, and then they did, they're really big on volleyball and soccer there. And, let's see, well, there's singing. They have, like, group times where everybody gets to sing, and they do Just Dance stuff there. They love that. Theater. They each get to watch a play every single day that builds upon a story, like a Bible story or some sort of story that at the end has a message related to the Bible. I think this year it's about Vikings. So I don't know how that's going to tie in, but we'll see when that happens. But it's mainly soccer. Yeah, I know how to make Pastor Jason happy.
Okay. I'll answer the COVID question first. We will have to be tested directly before we go there and then right before we come back, since the U.S. recently put in place, you know, that we have to be tested before returning to the U.S. But hopefully there shouldn't be a risk. Other volunteers have gone before and gone through the entire process and been just fine. So, you know, hopefully that's not going to pose a risk. But some specific memories. I think, let's see, one sad, one happy. The sad one was, so we were sitting around the campfire every evening. We have just like this campfire time where we get together, we sing songs, we toast marshmallows or whatever it is, and then, you know, just tell stories sometimes. And one of the girls was telling us that her brother had recently died, and that just broke my heart. Because, you know, these kids have experienced so much loss already. And just to add on to that, it was very heartbreaking. But one of the happy experiences was one of the kids was telling us that they really enjoyed the theater. And the reason they enjoyed the theater, the story was kind of the prodigal son, was the reason that the father forgave the son who came back. That just really warmed his heart, that the father just took him back in and didn't, you know, push him away because he had left. And so the child realizing that, that really warmed my heart that he could see that and that he could picture that and that made him happy, you know, realizing that God could do the same for him.
I would say that I found a blessing in a little girl named Sasha. And there were a lot of kids that I met there, but this little girl was really, she was really, I don't know how to describe it. She was really sweet, and but you could tell that she'd been through a lot, and she was really sad about a lot of things. But she was, I think she was maybe 9 or 10 years old, and she and I got really close during the first camp, and we got to hang out a little bit, and she would just sit next to me, and we couldn't understand each other, but we would just, she would start singing songs to me, and I didn't understand them because they were all in Russian, but then she would try to ask me something in English, and we would just try back and forth, and we would try to speak English to each other, I would try to speak Russian and fail miserably, and but after the camp, I tried to say something to her and to share the gospel a little bit with her, and specifically to tell her about like the privileges and the joys that she could find in Jesus. And I could tell she didn't understand everything that I said, but as soon as I said, Jesus loves you, and Jesus died on the cross for your sins, her face just lit up. And even though there was a language barrier there, I could still tell that she knew that I had a love for her, and that love was Jesus being shown through me, and just the fact that I was able to be there for her. And I just remember the day before we left, it was a really rainy day, and she waited out in the rain to say goodbye to me because they were going to leave. They were getting on the buses, and she gave up. She came up and she gave me a hug like she was never going to see me again, but she just said, I love you so much, and said a bunch of other things I couldn't understand, but I have a heart for these kids, and I want to be used, and I want to be instrumental in the lives of them, and that story is just, it's just one of many that can happen. It's experiences that can happen like that, where you can be used in a kid's life, and so, yeah, that's my story, but...
Yeah. There are a lot of missionaries that'll go around to the different orphanages if they will let them in. and they'll preach the gospel to the kids. But specifically to the kids who come to Camp Layla, Camp Layla will follow them back and will make sure that they're doing okay. They'll reach out. They'll share the gospel with them again. Sometimes they'll plug them into a local church so they can get the gospel that way. But, yeah, they really follow them back and make sure that they're keeping in contact with them and that they're following through with that. Yes. Good questions. Sometimes it's best not to communicate with them and to give them the hope that you're going to see them again. That's just something that I've learned, so I didn't communicate with some of them. But I think, did you stay in contact with any of them?
Yeah. There were a couple girls from the camp that they contacted me first. There wasn't really much I could say. I didn't know if I was going to see them, but I used that opportunity to just continue to encourage them and see how they were doing, just to ask them things like that. But there's not really a way I can say for sure if I'm going to see them again. And so I just, I give them, I say, how are you doing? And I ask them questions like that. But I don't want to give them that hope if I can't provide that, because disappointments, I mean, that happens a lot for them, and I don't want to be a cause of that. So, yeah.
Good food. Oh, goodness. A very, very grain-based, not a lot of meat, which was a sore disappointment to this meat-loving gal here. As some of you know, I'm gluten-free, dairy-free, so I went there, and I had to bring my own food and go to the store a lot. But, yeah, very heavily grain-based because, they are the breadbasket of Europe. So have a lot of breads, a lot of mush, a lot of, what else, veggies, soups, but it's all good food. It is really good food. It's really good food. Anything else?
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to our presentation. If you could join us with praying for us throughout this trip, individually and as a group, that we might fulfill the purpose that God has for this, to show his love to these kids. And with that, I just thank you.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.